morning, good afternoon, or good evening, depending on where you are in the world, and welcome to another episode of Interop Radio, The Hot Stage Diaries. Today is page 6 of The Hot Stage Diaries, and we've got a great show as we enter into the second week of Hot Stage. Now, I know that you were with us for each and every episode last week, so you know that we started out having a day with some interesting issues, Tuesday, when, let's call it, some unintended consequences hit the radio show when a wireless network was rebooted. Then on Wednesday, we had our wireless networking engineer in here to explain to you what had happened and why. Thursday, we got a glimpse at what goes on around the rebooting of our core routers. I mean, it was just a great action-packed week here at Hot Stage. Now, this is week 2, and the action is picking up, even though the focus of that action is changing. Last week was all about the InteropNet. That's the production network that will run Interop. That's the network, to be honest, that most attendees will see and use while they're at Interop. It's the network that show management uses and that all of the vendors out on the expo floor use to show off their fancy networking equipment. This week, we are wrapping up things with the InteropNet and turning our attention to the SDN lab. Now, this is totally different because it is a demonstration laboratory. As someone said to me yesterday, the big difference is that InteropNet, everything has to work. With the SDN lab, well, it's nice if it works, but it's really there to showcase all of the technology. We're going to be talking to a lot of people about the SDN lab this week, but we've got some kind of bridging stuff going on. The very first thing I want to do, as you know, last week I introduced you to a number of people who are here working in the InteropNet, and we've got some more of that going on. In addition, I have a live in-studio guest I'm going to be talking to. We're going to enjoy that in just a few minutes, but before we do, I want to talk about the guy who leads the effort here. Now, our chief architect here at the InteropNet is a fascinating guy, and it's not too much to call him both the engineer-in-chief and the cat herder-in-chief, because it's his job to ride herd over this collection of, well, I think calling them individuals probably sums it up best. Let's meet Glenn Evans and have him tell you just a little bit about what he does here at the InteropNet.
I'm Glenn Evans. I work for Accru Consulting. My job here on the InteropNet is the lead network engineer. I have technical oversight and responsibility for all the engineering in the program. When I first started as a volunteer back in Australia in the late 90s. I got imported over here 2004 to actually run the event as the lead engineer. I had a bit of a break in the late 2000s, as you do in the Bay Area. I went out and tried the startup thing, and then came back 2010 to run it again. You know, it's the sort of thing, event networking and Interop in particular, once it gets in your blood, it's really hard to get out. And those years in the late 2000s when I was sort of out of the program, you know, I really did miss it, missed the excitement, missed the adrenaline rush, and of course, yeah, missed working with a lot of the guys. It's definitely a combination. I think for me these days, it's probably around about 80% people management and 20% technical. In general, what I try and do when I select teams to help us out on this project is look for guys who've got the experience, are self-starters, and you know, can do the project with minimal direction. That makes my life a whole heap easier. We get guys in, they know what they're doing, have a loose, you know, general understanding of where I want to go with things, and they just get in there and do it. I would then, if I'm needed, it's more, okay, we need to make a decision about a certain technology, a certain concept, or a topology, something like that. That's when I'll then get in on the technical side and work through it with the guys and make... Well, I think, like any event network, once it gets to a certain size, it becomes a bit of a challenge. Technically it's a challenge, logistically there's challenges, and once the team starts to get beyond certain sizes, it becomes a challenge in people management. And I certainly enjoy all those elements. I think for me, I realized many years ago, a network to some degree is a network. It's the sum of its components. But without the people to drive it and put it together, design and operate it, it's just a bunch of components. It's just a bunch of boxes with blinky lights. It's really the guys on the team that put it together and make it work. That's really where the secret sauce is. And that's the exciting thing, watching these guys, progress from being volunteers to team leads and then start out, go out and run their own companies and, develop their own, consulting businesses. That, for me, is exciting, watching the progression of people through the system.
It's interesting. I've mentioned before, I find it fascinating that when I talk to the people here at Hot Stage and ask them why they're here, ask them what they get out of the experience, almost universally the answer is the people. And we've been talking to a lot of people who are incredibly experienced at what they do, people who come to this from a position of technological leadership. But as Glenn indicated in his introduction of himself, the InteropNet team is made up of people with a widely diverse set of experiences. And we want to talk to someone who's probably a little bit closer to the front end of their career than the back end. Now, this is someone that I've known for a while, met him through both Interop and some other activities around the IT world. We're pleased to welcome Robert Davis to the Hot Stage Diaries. Robert, welcome to the show.
Hi, Curtis. How are you?
I'm doing well. Now, we're going to ask you the same kind of questions we ask all of the people we're talking to. So, first off, tell us a little bit about what you do in your day job. What's the way that you spend time when you're not here at Hot Stage?
Well, I'm an IT manager for a nonprofit, and I manage a team of people who have many hats since we're a small business. We do system engineering, we do the networking side, and we also do the end user support.
Well, now, it's important to note, for a lot of different reasons, you are here in the Hot Stage warehouse not because you're working at Hot Stage, but because you're a guest on the radio, and you are going to be at Interop working. But something that a lot of people don't realize is that there is a larger team at Interop than there is here at Hot Stage, because frankly, there's a lot more area to cover. There's a lot more deployment to be done. Tell us now, what are you going to be doing at Interop for the InteropNet?
Well, basically everything that is set up at Hot Stage has to be transplanted to the Vegas floor, and the actual installation and implementation and then maintenance of that network get carried out by the ITM, the volunteers.
Now, this will not be your first Interop, will it?
Correct. This will be my third.
Your third Interop. So how did you get started with Interop? What brought you onto the team?
It got sold to me in that it's being able to work on a very challenging and large-scale network, but work with very smart people. And there's a lot to learn or just can rub off on you from being around very smart and mature people who have been in the IT business for decades.
Now, we all know that I don't think anyone is involved with the InteropNet because of the vast riches that it brings to you. So since this is your third time, what keeps bringing you back? Why do you subject yourself to the long hours and hard work of the InteropNet experience?
I learn many things every year. I think we all share the desire to learn and see how things work. And when the rubber meets pavement, little quirky things come up, and those are the best things to solve. And that you can learn practical pieces from, instead of everything works in a lab or on paper, but when it's actually in a real world where we're doing actual interoperability between different hardware, some quirky things come up, and that's always a great place to learn.
The joy of quirky things. Now, we're going to ask Robert to hang around a little bit and talk to him again in a few minutes. Before we do that, though, I had a chance to sit down with Glenn Evans, our chief architect, and ask him about how things have been going, where in his eyes we stand at this midpoint of Hot Stage. And here's the interview that he and I had the other night late here at the warehouse. Glenn, we're sitting here roughly halfway through the entire Hot Stage process. In theory, at least, we have completed the InteropNet portion of Hot Stage, getting ready to move into SDN Lab Hot Stage. Looking back at the last week, how has it gone? Are we where you had hoped to be at this point? And can you tell me a little bit about what's to come?
Well, I think probably to answer your first question, are we where I expect to be? The answer is definitely yes. Since we started, in reality, Saturday last week, so we've been going approximately 9 days now. In that period of time, we've refreshed our UPS systems throughout our entire estate, which was a major undertaking. We've resorted our fiber optic cable systems, which is a huge manpower exercise, and the guys have done really well in getting that sorted out. We've got the racks ready to go. Wireless has been tested, voice has been tested across the network, which are the two main services that we do run. DNS, DHCP works across the whole system. All that's really left now is to finish off the documentation and then tidy up the racks, do some dressing of cables and things like that. And we're pretty much ready to go off to the show and start to put this thing into production. So we are certainly in a good place from the underlying transport perspective. The next stage for us over the next couple of days is definitely going to be the SDN labs and the various demonstration areas there. We've broken that down into 4 demonstration areas. HP have their own system. Alcatel-Lucent, NEC are partnering to provide another system. Cisco are bringing in some of their concepts and technologies. And then we have a fourth rack, which is basically a free-for-all. It's a combination of bare metal switches, open daylight, open flow, open source type SDN technologies. And that's really one of the exciting things. I think for us, the challenge now over the next 3 days is to get all those things working in their silos, and then work out how we can interoperate and interact between the various silos.
Can you talk with us a little bit about the comparison of the Hot Stage process between the two parts? How does it differ when you're trying to put together a production network from what you're doing when you're putting together this lab and demonstration network component?
Good question, yeah. I think the reality is there's a slightly different mentality into doing both. On the production network, it has to work. It has to be reliable, stable, and relatively fast. So we spend a lot of time, it sounds really funny, stripping it down to bare bones and keeping it as simple as possible, because we've worked out over the years that that's the best way to go into the event, and it's the best way to maximize your chance of success and minimize your failures. The SDN Labs, totally different environment. In essentially, it doesn't have to work. It's nice if it does. And it's our sandpit. You know, the production network, we don't really play with it that much. We build it, get it sorted out, and just leave it alone. But with the SDN Lab, I think in reality that will be in flux until the day of the show, until about 3 o'clock on Tuesday, April 28th, when the event floor opens. That's probably when it'll all get finalized. And going on past sort of experience, we'll probably still be tuning and tweaking when we close the show on the Thursday.
Well, looking back again on the last week, you said we're where you had hoped to be, where you expected to be at this stage in the process. Were there any surprises for you? I know that, as you've said, you have done InteropNet for a number of years. So are there any surprises to be had at this point? Or is it really just a basic operational process of putting in place a production network?
I think for us these days, it is probably more the latter. We like to think we've got our procedures and policies down to a point where our processes help us design and build very quickly, and we usually get it right the first time. Yeah, that said, there is always the odd occasion where somebody will, fat finger a command line structure and blow something up. The reality is it's not the equipment that really fails us, it's the people, and we're sometimes our own worst enemies. We get in there and we try and tune and tweak things, and occasionally we break it. We've had that a couple of times this week where we've managed to break the network, but that's really what HotStage is about. We try and make, if we're going to make mistakes, we try and make them here at HotStage, so we don't do it at the event.
Well, from your perspective, what kind of experience should attendees expect from the InteropNet? I mean, from your perspective, should they notice it at all when they're at the show? And what kind of experience would you say people should plan to have around the SDN Lab? How should people approach that when they get to Las Vegas?
Okay, I think in terms of the InteropNet, in reality, if we've done our job properly, people shouldn't notice it, or shouldn't know, Wi-Fi will work. All the wired connections that we deliver across the conference and the expo floor will just work. If we've done our job incorrectly, and things are broken, yes, they'll definitely know about it. So from in terms of service delivery, they shouldn't know much about it at all. It should just happen. But from an education and an attendee experience perspective, we've got equipment racks out on the expo floor that are open for the public to look at and view. Hopefully we'll have some information on the racks that they can look up via QR codes or barcodes and get information about what that rack's doing, what's in the rack, and how it's operating, how it's been put together. Part of our remit is to also provide attendee education. We have about 12 classes in an InteropNet classroom near the NOC that operate whenever the expo floor is open. And that's basically to allow the attendees to get under the hood of the InteropNet and talk to the guys who built it, designed it, provided equipment for it, and provided systems for it, so they can get the information. In terms of the SDN Lab, the SDN Lab is totally open to all the attendees on the expo floor. So we welcome them to come up, ask questions. Hey, what's this doing? How do I do this? How do I do that? With a bit of luck, we should be running whiteboard sessions around what's happening on the SDN Lab. I haven't got schedules set for that yet, but it will probably be in a similar vein to the education classes, or the structured education classes we run for the production InteropNet.
Very good. Well, Glenn, thanks so much for being with us. We'll plan to touch base with you before the end of Hot Stage, and we'll look forward to hearing from you again out in Las Vegas.
Sounds great. Look forward to it. Thank you.
That was my conversation with Glenn Evans, who is the chief architect here of the InteropNet. Now, as you might have guessed when you heard that, we do most of our interviews here in the middle of the warehouse, and, you know, people are working here. It is a working environment. As a matter of fact, I'm having a trio of individuals work out technical issues across the table from me as I'm talking to you right now. Now, Robert, I'm curious, when you were there last year, I know that Glenn said that in general, if you're doing your job right, people don't really notice the InteropNet. Now, first of all, when you are at Interop, do you get a chance to even interact with the attendees, or do they keep you locked back in the back rooms away from all the attendees while you're at the show?
We have a lot of interaction with the booth and the people of the convention. Whatever their concerns are, if it's something that we can assist with on the network side or something they're trying to get connected to the network, we're out there talking with them.
Well, from what you heard last year, did people indeed notice the InteropNet while they were at the show?
While I agree, it's good if you aren't noticed, because it means that the train's not late, as the expression goes. We actually had some positive feedback where some people at Booz mentioned that it was better, in fact, a exceptional quality of network service compared to other conventions they've been at. So in a sense, they noticed that the network was exceptional as opposed to just working.
Well, I have to admit, I go to an awful lot of conferences as part of my work, and I do notice when the networks are bad, and there are a bunch of them out there. So it is very pleasant to get to a place like Interop and feel confident. I mean, I can actually run radio shows over the wireless there at Interop and not feel too worried about it, especially since I now know that our wireless engineer is not going to torpedo me as happened last week. We know why that happened. That's why we have Hot Stage. We can go, oh my, let's not do that during the show and work things out.
Yeah, we have some booths that have some pretty creative things that they're doing, a lot doing very video intensive projects that go out to the internet, and they're all running them all at the same time, and the network's keeping up.
Now, I have to ask, is there anything, any experience, any technology, anything you're particularly looking forward to coming up for this year's Interop?
Well, we have some switching on some of the hardware that we have this year. We actually have a new user experience piece that we have. Where we have these little boxes, the Raspberry Pis that sit out on the network. The brand escapes me right now, but
I think that's the NetBees.
That's it, yes. And those look particularly interesting. The idea is you have a device out in the field that is your customer, but it will yell at you before a customer lets you know that something's awry. So I'm particularly interested in those. And that sort of piece of finding out about your network from outside of the core on when it's something that's such a big scaled network, that's really valuable, all that information.
Yeah, I will remind our listeners that we had a couple of folks from NetBees as guests on Interop Radio about 3 weeks ago. You can go back into the archives and find that on demand, and I recommend that you do, because they really are trying to get the network administrators and engineers a look at what's going on the network from the user perspective before the users notice that it's from the user perspective. And that's a valuable thing for any administrator or engineer to have in their toolkit. Now, we're going to have Robert back in just a couple minutes for the very last segment of the show. But before we do, I've got another volunteer I wanted you to meet. Now, this is someone who has been around the InteropNet for a long time, and I have to make, in the spirit of full disclosure, the notice that this is someone who I work with an awful lot. Brian Chee And I have written a couple of books together. We have written lots and lots of articles together. We are together on a weekly podcast. And, well, we're just good friends on top of everything else. Brian has a very particular role here at this year's Interop. And, well, let's let him tell you about it.
Well, I'm Brian Chi, and I'm an IT specialist for the University of Hawaii School of Ocean, Earth Science, and Technology. Well, officially, I'm handling the volunteer education. The whole idea behind this is we want to try and make the volunteer experience as rich and valuable to them as possible. Because the reality is, the volunteers, even though volunteers might have an interesting connotation, these people are IT managers in their own rights. They are experts in the field. And so the draw is they get to work with best-of-breed equipment, emerging technologies, and so forth. But we try to sweeten the pot by making sure that the vendors involved and experts in the field share their expertise and try and create as much cross-pollination of knowledge as possible in the industry. Because after all, Interop's original intention was to provide education and to spread knowledge on emerging technologies. You know, when it first started, the emerging technology was TCP/IP. It has changed over the years, and so we're going to try and make sure that the volunteer experience is as valuable as possible to the volunteers. The InteropNet is a very, very large project, and unlike, say, some other projects, you can't be just a silo. Everybody has to have cross-pollination of information, but more importantly, if someone needs to sweep the floor, you pick up a broom. If someone needs to re-spool cable, we've made some god-awful weird sounds as these giant spools of fiber are vibrating and making sounds like dying whales. And, you know, everybody pitches in during racking and stacking. I've got little cuts on my fingers from the rack screws. We help pack things up. We help move things around. Everybody does a little bit of everything so that as a team we can build a very, very large network in a relatively short amount of time. And you got to keep one thing firmly in mind. Every year we do a greenfield network design. We start from scratch every year, and thusly, one of the other cool effects of that is every year it's a best-of-breed network, and we get to choose some really, really neat emerging technologies and highlight them on what is the world's, I think it's still the world's largest temporary network. Well, funny you should ask. This is actually the 20th year I've been working on the InteropNet. My first show was in 1995 in Las Vegas, and I've gone from the what we call the Interop team member to, for a little while, we actually had a thing called an InteropNet advisory board where we'd meet and do large-scale designs. And now I'm working as a team lead, working with Glenn Evans on making this wonderland of internet technology happen. But over the years, like for instance, I was working a lot with the U.S. federal government. Some of the things that I learned on the InteropNet I've applied to my work and vice versa. So some of the things that have become normal in the industry, things like an out-of-band management network, something nice and easy and flat, so you always have a back end. So say, for instance, as a great example, when the slammer worm hit, that maxed out the production network, but because we had what we call Access Ether, we had a way into the management ports on all the switches, and once we had characterized it, I think it was roughly 20 minutes, we had ACLs applied to our switches and routers and had already started applying the ACLs or ACLs further up in the stack in our internet service provider and so forth. And we were sharing the characterization, sharing the rules that we had created far and wide throughout the industry. this is something that the Interop Net's done for years and years and years, and it has slowly become the standard operating procedure for a lot of large networks.
Yeah, that's actually a really easy thing to answer. It's the community. The community of engineers, we call the group PASNOC. The PASNOC group has, well, we actually did a survey once, and back in, I believe it was around 2007, 2006, that time frame, we started counting how many requests for comments, the internet standards, the team has either written, directly affected, or been involved on. And at that time, it was in excess of 60%. Right down to odd demonstrations like IP over avian carrier. Our Norwegian contingent apparently had quite a bit to do with that. And while obviously not practical, it is a demonstration that the stack, the network stack, is very flexible, and you can implement IP over just about everything, including carrier pigeons.
That was my friend and coworker and colleague Brian Chi talking to us about what he's doing here at the Interop Net and Hot Stage. You know, that's the thing. We have a lot of different roles here at the Interop Net. Everything from architecting the entire network down to making sure that all the volunteers get their lunch. And that the signs are made. You know, it really is lots and lots and lots of moving pieces and parts that have to come together to make the network at Interop happen. Well, we've been joined here today in page 6 of the Interop Net Hot Stage Diaries by Robert Davis, one of our volunteers, or an ITM, as they're called here at the Interop Net. Robert, what does ITM stand for?
Interop Team Member. Passed the test.
Yep, you have passed the test. And it's one of those things, like every other piece of the technology world, there is the own, it's got its own set of jargon and TLAs that everyone has to learn. Well, Robert, thanks so much for being with us here today. You had to drive a bit of a way just to be here for the Hot Stage Diaries. We appreciate you making the effort.
Well, thank you, Curtis. I always appreciate it.
And we'll look forward to having Robert back on Interop Radio when we're set up and broadcasting live from Interop in Las Vegas. Now, today is just page 6 of the Hot Stage Diaries. We're going to be going up to page 10 on Friday. Then we take a break. Just the regular Interop Radio episodes that are going on between the end of Hot Stage and the beginning of Interop. Once we get to Interop, we're going to have a bunch of radio shows for you. I think you're going to really like it. At least twice a day during Interop, many of the days we'll have 3 shows. And we'll be bringing you all of the interesting stuff happening at Interop for those who can't be there, or to be a little bit of an extra piece of the experience for those who are right there with us in Las Vegas. Do want to take a moment to remind you that Interop Radio, the Hot Stage Diaries, is an online audio portion of Interop. Interop Las Vegas, connecting the IT community, will come to be born on April 27th through May 1st, 2015, at the beautiful Mandalay Bay Convention Center in scenic Las Vegas, Nevada. We hope that you can join us there. For more information and to register, please go to www.interop.com and be sure to use promotional code RADIO to get a non-trivial discount on your full conference package. Well, for Robert, Brian, Glenn, everyone here at Interop Net Hot Stage and Interop Radio, I'm Kurt Franklin. Remember, tomorrow we have two episodes. We've got regular Interop Radio at 3 p.m. Eastern Time and the Hot Stage Diaries at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. We hope that you'll be able to join us for both of those. Until then, I'm Kurt Franklin saying thanks so much for listening. Hey, we'll see you next time.